to a new interview, a section of the French Storage Podcast where we meet and discuss with leaders of our industry. This format invites us to approach a company, understand its strategy on a market thanks to a direct exchange with its top executive. And today, for this edition, it's a great moment to meet Abi Peryasamy, founder and CEO of Minio. Hello, Abi. Glad we had the opportunity to record this interview live at Minio HQ in Palo Alto today.
Hey, it's wonderful to be here, Felipe. I feel great. It's a great moment for us more than you.
Minio is a software company developing an open source object storage fully compatible with AWS S3 API that is by far the most deployed on the planet. We'll learn why with you, AB, with this interview. What a trajectory for Minio. I remember our first meeting in December 2015, just 1 year following your inception. It's really a pleasure for me to have unveiled Minio to the rest of the world at that time, more than 6 years ago. At Coldago, we identified Minio for several years and ranked the company as a market leader in the last three maps. So first, AB, could you share the genesis of the project? What were the triggers to launch the project? For our audience, it's important to remind them that you were the man behind Gluster, and the company was acquired by Red Hat, I think, in 2011 for $136 million.
Yeah. First, I want to thank you for, like, when Minio started, we were just very small, like, really small team, right? You believed in us back then, and all your predictions came true, and we were very fortunate, right, to get your attention, and it's a validation for us today, right? And still, we see a long road ahead of us, but back to the genesis, the idea was actually quite simple. When we started, we asked ourselves a very simple question, right? 10 years from now, what problem if I pick now and relentlessly focused on it and every day make small improvements and keep going at it? If I point the ship in one direction, we will make incremental progress and we will accelerate on top. If we are focused, we can, any problem we pick, if we paid attention to fine details, it's hard to go wrong. We picked a market that was very crowded. It's easier to go into a crowded market and beat the competition with a better product than creating a whole new market for yourself. And one trend, every direction you look at, will produce more data. And within that data stack, we focused on data persistence was a important problem. It was actually, we considered it to be simple, but somehow enterprise market is like build complex, shiny, heavy solutions. And I saw that was the opportunity. If I built an object store that's very easy to use, that from an average developer to a high-end enterprise or DevOps, anyone can use it on anywhere, we just fixed onto that problem. And 6 years later, you can see the validation that it is now the primary storage and everybody needs it. The genesis was based on a simple idea that data is everybody's problem, and data is going to be an asset, and they're going to struggle with storing large amounts of data. Just solve that problem. Object storage is the right technology to solve it. The public cloud was created around object store with the introduction of S3, then cloud was born. So we went after it, and now everyone is in agreement that object storage is the heart of all modern data infrastructure.
Yeah, thank you, Abi, for this introduction. Did the original mission and value proposition change over time? And can you describe Minio as a product today?
Actually, nothing changed. If you see in our very first seed round, in fact, the company was created after we got the seed round, right? It was our investors who were convincing us that we had the right kind of investors since the beginning. And they believed in the team, that this is a team that no matter what problem they solve, they are going to do it well, and they wanted to back us, right? So I originally thought I would do Bionics, right? But we put that aside, and then we came into Object Store. But the very first day when we put together as our mission, that this is exactly what we are going to go after, it is still true. I think it will still be true. If you, another 6 years later, you ask me, I think it will still be the same story. It's because of our focus that object store for the whole world This is a winner-take-all market, and our focus is, can we be the world's leading data store? Bulk of the world's data getting produced, can we be the technology that powers it? And in early on, it sounded a little funny, right? When Amazon S3 was the gold standard, and we were like, we will build something better than Amazon S3, and it can run inside AWS and run anywhere else. That's our value prop. It didn't make sense. People didn't believe we could do it. Today, we can say that we probably have bigger ecosystem than Amazon, bigger install base, and we run everywhere. That is still our focus. It was our focus. Early on, it was not believable. Today, it's something that the community and customers can believe it. But we still have a long journey to go. We got the land grab, but to build a powerful business around it, but the mission still remains same. We are continuing on the journey.
So you confirm that, and I just said that the product is widely adopted on the planet. To let our audience measure your impact, what are the key numbers you can share with us?
To be honest, I stopped counting because the numbers are so big in every direction we look at. We are actually, from the beginning, we were very prudent about that the real value we are giving to the customer, apart from the product itself, is I want customers to be in control of their data and technology. And if I start collecting, like even the usage, how it is being used, the kind of usage, capacity, how much data is on Minayo, I would love to tell you that across all the world, this is exactly the amount of data we are powering, this many trillions of objects we are powering. If I collect it without consent, it will be a privacy violation. Even as open source or proprietary, doesn't matter. We always wanted to put customer first, the users first. Even if they are not paying me anything, I don't want to collect anything. But can we measure indirectly? Like, just to be on a Slack channel, like, these are all not hackers and hobbyists. These are all developers, DevOps, architects on our Slack channel from the large enterprises. More than 16,000 people on the Slack channel. Docker pulls, 1 million Docker pulls a day. And we are in actually every continent. More than half of the Fortune 500s are using us. Today, from startups to large companies, anywhere we look at, every new VC pitch deck, if they deal with the data, it is likely Minayo. Even Microsoft SQL Server team, Teradata, to Veeam, to name it, right, Splunk, they all even developed on Minayo before they pointed it to Amazon S3. At this stage, I think our focus has paid off. Now it is helping them operate at scale is where the focus is beginning.
I understand why you stopped counting. So you work in the industry for many years. Minayo exists since 2015. How do you see the object storage market segment and its evolution over the years? I mean, it has evolved rapidly during the last decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when we started, if object storage was one of the possible solutions, I won't be that interested. Actually, I didn't want to come back to storage after doing Gluster. I wanted to do something fun, right? Every day I want to wake up and go solve something fun, right? But then why did I come back to object storage? Because it was an unfinished game. By the time I was done with Gluster, I built something that solved the large-scale data storage problem, but it still inherited the same old NAS interface. It has to look like NetApp or EMC or one of them. It was severely limiting. By the time Amazon introduced S3, and I was pretty clear that Amazon would convince the world that this is a better way to do.
Yeah.
And but for us to finish the journey, even if we were a standalone company as continuing from Gluster, I would have basically built Minayo and disrupted Gluster myself. Yeah. The idea behind Minayo is we saw that the public cloud was built around S3. S3 is the primary storage. They don't even think like primary, secondary. Even though there is Glacier, they just look at object storage as the data persistence layer. Everything is object. Whether it's a database, AML, static websites, anything.
Yeah, it's the reason why there is the term data store that finally replaced or summarized pretty well this approach. They don't care about the storage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
VMware understood this, right? VMware calls it as data persistence platform, and that's about it. It is no longer about storage. It's a data store. And when I looked at Amazon, Object storage is the foundation of all their data infrastructure, not just Amazon. Look at Google Cloud, look at Azure. Everywhere, Azure ML, like ADLS or BigQuery, Power BI, everything is built on object store.
Yeah.
And I saw that that was the opportunity, that everybody was incompatible with each other and incompatible with the rest
of the world. So something is happening and you want to play in the in this game and even participate to the revolution and even go faster than the revolution.
Exactly. I saw that this fragmentation was the opportunity. If I built one better technology and then basically level the ground with one API and one standard, it's a winner-take-all market. It's the good and bad part of this market. I saw object storage was a huge market. It is now the primary data store, whether it's public cloud or private cloud. SAN, NAS, HDFS are now are looked at as legacy systems.
So, AB, Minio is really a product that can be deployed in various cases. From agile container-based application environment, let's say, primary data store to very large secondary storage, so a large spectrum. What are the top three, four typical use cases you see built on Minio, on Min.io, and also the ones you promote?
So today it is running everywhere, right? Like 5G towers. We have even seen the drones running microcontrollers. They have ported Min.io into that. All kinds of fun use cases, from Raspberry Pi to all the large cruise ships, like multiples of them, right? And all the way to some of the largest data centers in the world are running Min.io. And while the use case is quite varied, I personally am more interested in the primary data storage market, because the secondary object store, I don't need to convince someone that, hey, I can run slow too. Right? They understand that. In fact, most of the time they find that Min.io is cheaper than tapes or any solution they bring. It is cheaper than any secondary, tertiary storage, but it's faster than any other primary data store. And it is forward-looking for them. It is the future of their data infrastructure. So everything is getting consolidated into one cloud storage for them, whether they are inside public cloud or private cloud. For me, within that, it's a horizontal use case. We see from fintech to government to autonomous driving cars, telcos, multiple verticals are coming to us, but I clearly see a pattern that the use case seems to be AML, data infrastructure, analytics workloads, databases. Surprisingly, these are the database workloads and all the data warehouse analytics were the primary storage use case for SAN and NAS. Once the database is now coming to Min.io, followed by application artifacts, like the used to be VM images. These are images that are built now every hour, every minute sometimes. Right? Thousands of container images are created, and these are new container images, and they are stored in Min.io. Then even the old school players like the data management, right? The secondary data management players, copy data management players became cloud data management players. Where do they store the data? Object store. So for me, I'm more interested in the kind of customers who are storing like in petascale. For me, that way I can justify giving them white glove service. For everybody else, product is so easy. There is a big community out there. Go use it.
Good. So let's jump into the product, and I'd like you to give us the pitch and help us understand the key features that differentiate Min.io from the competition.
If I have to summarize in one key feature, it's actually not a feature. It's the attitude. It's simplicity. It's minimalism.
Yeah.
That's what differentiates Min.io.
So the name of the company
the
and
name.
The product. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, like even some of our investors, at first they didn't they couldn't comprehend. They understood all the features, all the cool things that we keep adding. We don't talk about like ransomware protection or like the like fastest erasure coding to like every minute detail. You will see it is more sophisticated than all of the other competitors put together. We don't talk about it, and when investors will talk to the customers from a due diligence point of view, customers won't talk about these features either. For me, that's the important part. They always told, it just works. And investors are like, why can't they say all the advantages of MinIO? I'm like, no, the greatest compliment you can get from customer is it just works. Yeah. And when things have become that simple and everything else is invisible, because I don't want to win them over by saying I have these 13 features, compared to them, they have 10 features only. Most of the time, if you look around the users, they use only a tiny fraction of the features. Yeah. But everything they touch, it has to be that fine craftsmanship, attention to details. So while we have these capabilities, from day one, it is designed to be better than Amazon S3. But for me, it's even more important. Someone with very little skills, can they operate at scale with no experience required? And that was important. If something is not that simple, it won't scale.
So very simple learning curve.
Yes. And very easy to operate.
Yeah.
It is just what you want, nothing more, nothing less. The minimalism design principle is really why MinIO succeeded, not because of the capabilities. While we do take a like if you look at erasure code, MinIO's erasure code algorithm is faster than Intel's ISIL storage acceleration library. It's written in assembly language that Intel engineers wrote it for AVX512. Our AVX512 optimization is even faster than Intel's own ISIL SDK. Typically, other vendors would use CRC checksum for bitrate check. Mm-hmm. That's actually very, very poor, lame function. It leads to collision. We would use, when Google published Highway Hash, we actually implemented in Go using SIMD functions. It was the fastest memory speed highway hashing. That's actually pretty sophisticated for bitrate checks. Every capability. Amazon talks about now bucket replication. We got like whole site replication, cross-region, active-active, multi-site. Every feature computation we talk about, we can show how we are faster, simpler, and better. But to me, that's really secondary. It's like a good movie. If they use computer animation and rendering, it should be invisible to you. You shouldn't see that they did all these graphics. It should look natural.
Very or super comprehensive inside, but what you expose is super simple. Super
Correct.
Simple to adopt, deploy, and operate, as you said.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Okay. So what about your cloud strategy and Kubernetes environment? I think you are validated with VMware Tanzu, but you support much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, cloud is a very important part of our journey. What I found, first, if you see, right, like the product design capabilities from API, even how customers buy, how they pay on a consumption-based model, everything we do is influenced by the cloud. But one subtle difference, but an important one that we started noticing at the customer side, that customers love cloud for productivity reasons. Between asking their enterprise IT to buy storage servers and deploy in their data centers, it takes sometimes even months, right? Procuring these servers, these are just commodity servers, you can get from Dell, HP, Supermicro, Quanta, name it. But then by the time IT can provision the hardware, these developers took the application live on the public cloud. And inside the public cloud, they actually use MinIO because they can't, if they're on Google Cloud, if they are on Azure, they are all incompatible with S3 API. Inside AWS, even for AWS itself, the developers actually don't write code pointing to S3. They write code in their laptop, in their CI/CD environment, then they push it to the cloud. They detach the cloud from their application stack. MinIO is part of their their entire software stack is basically described in a YAML file, and Kubernetes is doing the orchestration. With MinIO, MongoDB, Kafka, and all their application containers as microservices, they're able to roll it out to any cloud they want. And even if they are today only AWS, you will find lots of deployments inside AWS running MinIO. They find it easier to spin their infrastructure through Kubernetes with MinIO in it than going to AWS console and manually provisioning these buckets and applying policies. For us, end of the day, I care less about you buying Supermicro on a lease basis at Equinix, or you are through an API, you provision these EC2 or GKE instances. To me, productivity matters. If I can take you to production fast, I love it. And for us, I personally, I would say we are cloud first, but wherever, mm-hmm. you want to deploy us in the edge, you want to deploy us on OpenShift, Rancher, Tanzu, or GKE, AKS, they're all Kubernetes. Finally, the cloud and private cloud, the lines are beginning to blur. And Kubernetes takes credit for this.
Okay. So what about your go-to-market strategy? How do you sell the product? Which ecosystems do you prefer and use? What are the partnerships you leverage to penetrate the market?
Mm-hmm.
And please mention any integration to illustrate the adoptions.
Yeah. The payment pricing itself, what we learned was while we introduced a modern product like Amazon S3, Minevo, every way it has all the capabilities. But when it comes to dealing with the procurement, I found that it is still very old school ways. And customers, if you deal with IT, you go through procurement. But if you deal with the developers, what do? They put credit card or the corporate bank account, and then they are able to spin up these instances on demand on the public cloud. I found that they learned that convenience from experiencing the retail. Amazon brought this capability, selling retail stuff, to the enterprise. Now, enterprise loves to buy infrastructure like they buy toilet paper and toothbrush. I think that's here to stay. And we followed the same model. I would say that's bigger innovation from Amazon and bigger disruption from Amazon than S3 object storage itself. And we followed the same model. We built a subscription network where customers worldwide, today, even though we don't have sales team, we actually have customers all over the world, and 50% of our customers are outside the US, and they are spread everywhere. And they are able to use their credit card, bank account, pay on a consumption-based model. The go-to-market, what we found was the important message is that we want to cut all the middlemen that are unnecessary in the equation and give pure value to customers. Some customers prefer, hey, can I pay you through Google Marketplace, AWS, or Azure Marketplace, because we have a corporate relationship. We have to use up to certain consumption to get a discount. I would rather pay Minevo through the marketplace. For me, whether you pay through marketplace, pay through pay as direct, pay through reseller. Some countries they have stringent requirements. They need a local reseller. Whatever customer wants, they want to go direct. They want to go on a monthly basis through marketplace. All of these models, we pretty much digitized as much as possible the consumption-based model. Rest of them, leave it to partners. Keep it simple. That's all I care.
So you touch this a bit. What about pricing? I mean, your product is open source, but mm-hmm. you sell to enterprises, large corporation, etc. Mm-hmm. And they need more than just software.
What
can you say on that?
So what are customers first paying for? They're paying for three things, right? So they don't want to have any license violation, that is open source license violation. Then they don't want to have any data loss, or they don't want to have any data breach. These three becomes important once they hit production and we are a critical part of the infrastructure. If we are not meeting these two conditions, the other three doesn't matter. Now, when customers come to us, Minevo is open source only for open source community. If they are building commercial proprietary application, it's only fair that they pay us too. And we, as the copyright holder, Minevo is not a community developed product. It's built by us, funded by us. We are a product company, but we also believe in the open source as a philosophy. There is no halfway there. Minevo is 100% open source. Community gets the same exact binary bits as the paying customers, but the community, when I say community, they are the open source community. If you are also willing to open source your software stack, join the club. You may still need to pay from when it comes to data security. You don't want data loss or a data breach, but if you are not open in the open source community, you also get the commercial license. And the license is basically a subscription model. You pay just for the amount of data sitting in Minevo. You may have 10 petabytes worth of hardware, but you only copied 2 petabytes of data. You only pay me for 2 petabytes of data. More you use, more you are convinced of the value, you pay for it. It's just a simple model.
We are approaching the end, and AB, I wish you share with us the big news.
So it is the funding announcement. It is a big news, but I do see it as a big work ahead for us too, right? It's not really a time for celebration for us. We never looked at funding or the amount of funding we raised or the number of people we hired to be a measure of success. For me, a measure of success is the kind of love we hear from customers and community. But this one, nevertheless, is significant. It's a $103 million raise at a $1 billion valuation. The most exciting part of it is Intel Capital led the round, and they watched us grow from Series A. The previous round was led by Dell EMC, and Intel couldn't lead the round because Dell came in first. But Intel, since then, they watched us grow, and they preempted this round. For me, that is a huge validation that knowing too much details about us gives them that level of confidence to have led the round. And SoftBank also participated, all the existing investors participated. For me, that validation is very humbling. But I think the bigger message, why 100 million? We actually don't need that much money. We are also profitable. But it does certainly help with the optics. For me, I care less about the optics, right? We don't care about vanity metrics. But it does give confidence to customers that we are here to stay. We are here to build a big company. It's not about like we'll build something for acquisition, sell it, and go home. Then they are concerned about what if the team goes home? What about the future of the project, right? Like we being the foundational data store, we being in the open source space, having that kind of reach and community, combined with the fact that funding is the least of our problem, gives a lot of confidence for customers that there is a long-term relationship between us and the customer as partners. They can now move forward, right? I see that this will help us immensely building long-term relationship with customers.
Wow, it's really impressive, and it's a real validation of what you preach for many years. Mm-hmm. And the tsunami I mentioned several times in the past about me and IO is getting stronger. And with this round, you are joining the Storage Unicorn Club, and you will be listed in the next Coldago Biannual Storage Unicorn in June 2022. What are the next steps and direction for me and IO? Clearly, you enter in a new dimension now.
We don't see it that way, but certainly it's a next phase. And I would say the next phase for me is, so far we went after all the places where there is basically the emerging market. We pretty much own the emerging market when it comes to land grab, right? But then the market that's behind, and all the places that today they're not using Object Store, there are still, from developers to enterprise, they can't spell Kubernetes. And how can you enable the rest of the world to use Object Store? That requires thought leadership. That requires a lot of education. The past S3 API, before we started, there was no S3 API V4 implementation outside Amazon. And we were the first to even make that S3 V4 and even help competitors to standardize, built an ecosystem. That's now a solved problem. But to go to the next level, giving to the rest of the world, like an average technician, you are not a DevOps, you may be IT, or you have very limited technical skills, can you build and operate data infrastructure? That is when we can reach a whole new level of acceleration. For me, that directly translates to simpler user experience, content creation and distribution. For us, marketing was never about big trade show banners, right? It was just create the right content, educate the right audience, create content and distribute it to the right hands. We're going to pour money into content creation and distribution. That the industry calls it marketing. That's how we see it. I would say that the creating good content and distribution, like even this interview, right, takes a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. Right, like how much, like it takes experts to understand and create content. We are going to invest heavily, build a team, and I want industry to learn about object storage from the content we created.
This is the end. Thank you very much, Ebi, for this open dialogue.
Thank you, Philippe. It has always been an honor. Every time I meet you, it's so much pleasure and fun.
We'll continue to monitor me and IO carefully during the next few months. And for us, I invite you to listen to our weekly rendezvous for new episodes around specific topics, leaders, interview, and other talks, all available on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you, everyone, and pleasure to meet you again very soon for new episodes. Ciao.